Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polovni. Točno o poldan.
Po sledih prostorskega apartheida. Cape Town, drugo največje južnoafriško mesto, je danes 22 let po odpravi apartheida meka za poslovneže, mlade izobražence, investitorje in turiste. Postalo je šolski primer glokalizacije. S svojo burno zgodovino, zaznamovano z dolgim obdobjem kolonizacije in apartheida, pa se spopada še danes. Obdobje med letoma 1948 in 1994 v južnoafriški zgodovini upravičeno velja za najtemnejše. Apartheid oziroma politika rasnega razlikovanja je postala uradna državna politika, skladno z oceno, da so temnopolte rase na nižji razvojni stopni, pa je bela manjšina vse nebele rase nacelila v rezervate daleč izven mest, ki so obsegali manj kot 13% državnega ozemlja. Ozadje te problematike nam osvetli Niko Koce, antropograf iz Univerze v Johannesburgu.
During the apartheid era, you had the black, the colored, the Indian and all the different white groups that lived in different areas. And those divisions were put in place with the Group Areas Act of 1950 that separated people into different areas where they supposed to live. And the white population always saw the central part of the city, the CBD, as white domain. You know, this is where we live. And this law, this Group Areas Act, was already repealed in 1994 before the ANC came into power. So before that, there was already the disappearance of the Group Areas Act. And after that, things changed dramatically in the CBDs of the South African cities. They were collapsed, a tremendous collapse, that it became areas of no-go. Because you had this influx of people of color into this area, they didn't maintain the CBDs, and it was really, really bad in them. Okay, so you see that the changes was already happening before the ANC government came into power.
Rasna segregacija je še danes močno prisotna v vseh porah južnoafriškega družbenega življenja. Hiter in intenziven razvoj mest v preteklih 22 letih je sicer dvignil življenjski standard povprečnega prebivalca Cape Towna, a je po drugi strani zato zahteval svojo ceno. S tem, ko se je mesto začelo odpirati, je privabilo nešteto investitorjev, ki danes kupujejo zemljo in nepremičnine. Posledično pa se je začelo oziroma je začelo primankovati stanovanjskih objektov. Več o stanovanjski problematiki danes in v času apartheida nam pove Rayland Fisher, novinar in poznavalec rasnega razlikovanja v postapartheidski Južni Afriki.
Yeah, I think housing has always been a problem in South Africa. You know, in the apartheid days, the government divided people into, obviously, into different races, and they treated the people differently in terms of the races. So they provided housing for some people and not for others. And so the majority black population in the country got houses in what they called homelands, but not in urban areas. And the homelands, which is supposed to be where black people could govern themselves, are all in the rural areas. So obviously, people do not stay in the rural areas. People move from rural areas to urban areas to look for work. And so in apartheid days, it was very difficult for black people to look for work in urban areas. After apartheid, that has changed, and so there's more people coming into the urban areas, and as a result, there's a lot more pressure on the government to provide housing for people in the urban areas. And that's one of the reasons why you've seen an increase in slums, in squatter camps, in the urban areas throughout South Africa.
Eden izmed bolj znanih primerov nasilne preselitve ljudi je tako imenovani District 6. 11. februarja 1966 je vlada Južne Afrike mestni okraj Cape Towna, imenovan District 6, razglasila za območje bele rase in z območja deložirala na tisoče pripadnikov nebelih ras. Zgodbo povzame Fisher.
Yeah, District 6 was declared a white group area in 1966. In February 1966, District 6 was an area that's right on the edge of the city of Cape Town. In fact, it's almost like in the city, in the CBD, where it was really a multicultural area. You know, you had white and black and colored and Indian people and Chinese people all living in the same area. And living harmoniously until the government decided that area must not be declared a white group area, and all the people who were not white had to be removed. And so then they forcibly removed a few thousand people from the area and scattered them all over the Cape Flats, 30-40 kilometers away from where they lived. And many of them worked. And over the years, there's been attempts to, and since we became a democracy also, there's been attempts to bring people back into District 6. But there's been so much politicking going on that very few houses have been built. And the bulk of District 6, the land that housed District 6, is still standing vacant. And people are still waiting to be removed back to District 6 to go live there again. But a lot of the people who were removed from District 6 40, 50 years ago are now old, and some of them are dying. But many of them still want to go back. And in fact, many of them actually want to go back so that they could go die in the place where they grew up. So it's a really sad story, the story of District 6. And at the moment, I don't see how it's going to be resolved unless, they're able to stop all the politics that's surrounding it.
Nesrečno podobne zgodbe pa se v Cape Townu odvijajo še danes. In ni jih malo. Pred kratkim je v medije prišla zgodba iz predmestja Woodstock, kjer je zasebna investicijska družba Woodstock Hub kupila nepremičnino, zaradi česar bo še ta mesec dom izgubilo 28 najemnikov stanovanj. Po trditvah družbe naj bi jih izselili zaradi dvoletnega neplačevanja najemnine. Stanovalci pa trdijo, da v zadnjih dveh letih, kolikor časa je nepremičnina v lasti omenjene družbe, z družbo ni bilo možno vzpostaviti stika. Po njihovem je to namerna poteza, s katero si je Woodstock Hub olajšal njihovo deložacijo. Postopek deložacije v primeru, da konfliktov med lastniki in najemniki ni, oriše koce.
You know, you have this where people are evicted from their properties. You know, there's laws in South Africa that protect people who rent properties. So it's actually quite difficult to evict people from properties. It's a long process, and you can't just if you have a tenant in a property and he don't pay your rent for you, you know, it's actually very, very difficult to evict him. It's a long process. You have to go to court to evict a person from a property. So it's not an easy process.
Pokrajinska vlada Zahodnega Cape Towna je leta 2010 izdala program obnove mestnega jedra Cape Towna, ki je predvidel zagotovitev več stanovanjskih objektov, delovnih mest in privabljanje investitorjev. Kot se nam poda oceno implementacije zadanih ciljev in navede še po svojem mnenju enega glavnih problemov stanovanske problematike Cape Towna.
Lot of the buildings that was derelict were upgraded. Some of the commercial buildings were turned into lofts and apartment blocks. So the process in Cape Town was quite successful, less so in the rest of South Africa. Yes, it's a segregated city, but the segregation is due to economic factors. It's not a political segregation anymore, it's economic segregation. The rich and those who have and those who don't have. And what is the biggest problem of Cape Town is that because it's such a good destination for Europeans, they buy these properties in euros or in pounds, and it's relatively cheap for them because if you know, the rand fluctuate quite a lot, and it's, I think at this stage, it's 15 rand to a euro. So they relatively buy up these properties from the owners.
krajšem glasbenem premoru nadaljujemo z južno hemisfero. Leta 1994, po odpravi apartheida, je na oblast v Južni Afriki prišel Afriški narodni kongres, ki vlada še danes. Nelson Mandela, prvi predsednik, je še istega leta predstavil socioekonomski, rekonstrukcijski in razvojni program, ki bi se izvajal v sodelovanju s civilno družbo ter zasebnimi in državnimi podjetji. Namen programa je bil rešiti glavne težave, ki so v tistem času pestile državo. Zagotovila bi se stanovanja, pitna voda, zdravniška oskrba in javna dela, elektrifikacija podeželja in izvedba zemljiške reforme. Program je bil zastavljen dokaj optimistično in bil v večini točk nerealiziran. Nadaljni vladni ukrepi so bili zastavljeni še bolj nesistematično, glavni razlog pa je v večini primerov manko finančnih sredstev. Več o naporih za obnovo mesta Cape Town nam pove Koce.
Now, if you look at Cape Town, as I said earlier, in the 1990s, we had this decline within the CBDs of all the central areas of all big cities. The one municipality, Cape Town, that really tried to prevent this collapse of the CBD was Cape Town. And in the early 1990s, they started the Cape Town partnership with the City Council, the South African Property Owners Association, and private business, and they tried to turn the collapse of the city around. And they decided to put a special levy on all businesses within the CBD. And this extra money that the local government brought in was spent within the CBD only. It was earmarked for the CBD only. And in 2001, already they had 14.6 million South African rand, and 50%, almost 50% was spent on security within the CBD to protect the inhabitants of the central business district. And over 22% was to clean up the CBD. And the rest of the large cities in South Africa didn't follow this recipe. And Cape Town was quite successful in turning the whole CBD around, that it's a safe, nice environment to live in and to be in. So you have these changes that took place in Cape Town that the other CBDs didn't have in South Africa.
Zakaj vsi očitki južnoafriški vladi o nezadostnem bojevanju zoper segregacijo niso na mestu, namoriše Fisher, ki poda tudi primerjavo družbenega položaja črncev in belcev v današnjem času.
Well, I think if you know, we start off with a situation where white people control the economy of the country, and through legislation they've made it possible, or impossible basically, for black people to advance economically. Now, the government, the present government, has tried to address this. They've tried to effect things like affirmative action. They've got a policy called Black Economic Empowerment. They've got employment equity policies in place. All of these things are meant to address the wrongs of the past, but it's taking a lot longer to address the wrongs of the past than everyone expected. You cannot undo 300 years of colonialism and 50 years of apartheid in 20 years of democracy. So it will still take a long time before we, in fact, able to address it. So what is happening is still today 22 years into a democracy, we still have a situation where white people are mainly rich and black people are mainly poor. And so because of that, and by black, I include basically everyone who is not white in South Africa. Okay? That's one of the peculiarities of South Africa. So black people are mainly poor and white people are mainly rich. And so black people have more of a reliance on the government to provide them with stuff like education, like housing, like public transport, etc. So government has their hands full also in terms of meeting the demands of black people. Now, you must also understand that because since the homeland system was scrapped, there's more pressure on cities also to provide housing, to provide education, transport, healthcare, etc., etc. And so, and the problem is that it's mainly, obviously, among black people and mainly among poor people where this is a crisis. And that is by far the majority of people.
Podobno mnenje s Fisherjem deli tudi Koce.
Well, as long as the South African population is growing at the speed that it's going now, there will be always shortages of housing, of all basic amenities for people. We don't have enough schools. And who are the people who is damaged the most by these kind of things? Are the poor. The rich people can pay for better education. The poor are caught in this situation that they can't really do anything to improve their situation because there is a large unemployed population, and I really don't know what, the government is trying this, but how do you get away if there's so much need and there is not enough money to provide housing, to provide medical care, to provide schools?
Južnoafriška vlada se je reševanja stanovanske problematike lotila tudi s postavljanjem naselij montažnih hiš. Na podeželju, kjer je zemlja cenejša, je tako zraslo ogromno stanovanskih grupacij, tako imenovane montažne hiše pa so bolj kot ne podobne barakam. Med stanovalci se jih je oprijel izraz koncentracijska taborišča, življenjski pogoji v teh naseljih pa naj bi bili še slabši kot v času apartheida. Zakaj vlada ni bila sposobna projekta izpeljati učinkoviteje in kje sam vidi možnost izboljšanja stanovanskih pogojev? Fisher.
Government has tried, to provide houses, but I think what they've done is they've given money. For instance, there's a certain amount that they give towards housing. The problem with that is that the amount is so small that the houses that they're able to build with that money is very small, and so as a result, you have a lot of these little houses kind of coming up all over the country. And those little houses look worse than the houses that were built, for instance, under apartheid. And so I think there needs to be a way of where government and private sector can collaborate so that the base amount for housing can be increased. And then I think there needs to be, people need to get kind of title deeds for their homes, which means that they must own the homes. And if they own the homes, then it makes them economically more viable and, it makes it easier for them to interact in the economy also, because then they have an asset that they can trade off, basically. For instance, if they need to make loans and stuff like that. And that could also boost the economy in quite a way. But there has been a conservatism with regards to government and the provision of housing. They haven't really been wanting to budge on the amount that they've made available for free housing.
Na situacijo podobno gleda tudi Koce, ki izpostavi še dejstvo, da se s pomankanjem stanovanjskih objektov v Južni Afriki ne spoprijemajo zgolj Južnoafričani.
So, you know, but these houses are tiny little 36 square meter little houses, but they are all built on the periphery of towns because that is where you have cheap land, where you can provide these houses very cheaply. So all of these, yes, it's probably South Africa, but I don't know. No government will ever be able to solve this housing problem within South Africa. It's not only for the South African population, it's also, we have a lot of people coming over the borders. You can call them refugees, but they simply come into South Africa, find jobs, and they also need accommodation. So it's enormous problem within the country.
Fischer nam poda še lastno oceno vladnega spoprijemanja stanovansko problematiko v zadnjih 22 letih.
We've had the same government now for 22 years, basically. You know, since we became a democracy. So they've had enough time to actually sort out a lot of the issues. And so that's one of the reasons why I feel very disappointed that, for instance, on housing, they haven't really sorted it out. And that we probably in a worse situation now with regards to housing than we were under apartheid. And that for me is a big, it's a sore basically in, you know, in terms of where we are as a society. I really expected more from government. I think there are areas where government has done amazingly well, you know, like providing electricity, water, etc. But when it comes to a physical house, they're still struggling. And so that's why you find a lot of squatter camps. And, you know, if you are going to be effecting proper change in society, then you should be getting rid of the squatter camps. Because no decent human being deserves to live in a squatter camp.
V mestu se je tekom vse pogostejših primerov deložacij vzpostavilo nekaj gibanj in inicijativ za pomoč ljudem, ki jim grozi deložacija. Ukvarjajo se predvsem s pravnim svetovanjem, nekatere pa so začele tudi z organiziranjem kampanj. Več o vsakdanjih problemih, s katerimi se spopadajo na podeželje preseljeni Južnoafričani in o pomenu odpora zoper te krivice, pove Fischer.
Ja, listen, I mean, there are different groups, you know, who act on behalf of people in the city. There are people who run advice offices. There's, you know, groups like the Black Sash, for instance, who also do some work in terms of advising people. I think, I mean, from where I sit, you know, I think it's important for as many people as possible to speak up and for as many people as possible to put pressure on government with regards to this. There has just been a campaign now, for instance, around a school in Seapoint, where the government, the provincial government, wanted to take the land that the school was on and sell it off to a private developer. But because of pressure from the community, they've now invited proposals for low-cost housing to be built on that land. And that will make a difference because the area of Seapoint is a very prime area, property area, and for there to be low-cost housing will make a difference because it will mean that people who work in Seapoint might be able to get houses closer to where they work. Because at the moment, if you look at the way, for instance, a city like Cape Town is constructed, the bulk of the working people live very far from where they work. And they have huge transport bills just to get to work in the morning and to get home at night. And they have to leave very early in the morning to get to work, and they have to get home very late at night. And so, and this affects mainly poor people. It doesn't really affect, the richer people who live closer to where they work, and who also obviously have their own transport, so they don't depend on public transport. And public transport can sometimes be unreliable. Trains get cancelled, buses get cancelled, taxi drivers go on strike, and all of those things impact on people's ability to get to work on time and to get home on time after work.
Po 22 letih južnoafriške demokracije tako še vedno ni moč reči, da je apartheid v celoti del zgodovine. Država se je po formalni odpravi te politične doktrine znašla pod budnim očesom mednarodne skupnosti. Seveda se je pričakovala čim hitrejša transformacija družbe in družbenega sistema. Tovrstne prakse, kot je danes predstavljena, kažejo, da Južna Afrika pri implementaciji demokracije pretirano ne odstopa od že ustaljenih praks mnogih drugih formalno demokratičnih držav. Več o videnju Južne Afrike z perspektive mednarodne skupnosti in o pritisku, ki se je vzpostavil s še danes trajajočim spopadanjem z rasno segregacijo, zaključi Fisher.
You know, I think there was a time when South Africa was the flavor of the month internationally. So you had people, obviously, the days of apartheid, the United Nations declaring apartheid a crime against humanity, Nelson Mandela being imprisoned, Nelson Mandela coming out, becoming a president. And so, and then the reconciliation process in South Africa. So there was a lot of focus on South Africa. And there was a lot of hope that our country would be very different. And I think, we started off very well. And I think in the last couple of years, we've kind of lost our direction a bit. I think all of those kind of things add up to people kind of saying, but, South Africa is no longer special. And so we no longer focus on it. But my feeling is that South Africa is special and will remain special. And if the reconciliation project fails in South Africa, then it won't set a good example for the rest of the world. If the reconciliation process that we started 22 years ago, if it is successful, it can stand as an example for the world that the rest of the world could emulate. And hopefully it will also inspire other people, to follow the same route. But obviously that won't happen if we don't make a success of our story. And so it's up to us in our country to make a success of the process here.
Južno hemisfero je pripravila Sara.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
When we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half, we have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.